Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Thursday evening Shir. This Shabbos, of course, is Shabbos HaGadol, Parashas Tzav. I want to speak about a Pesach-related topic, since we're less than a week before Pesach. Take the opportunity to invite those who are interested to join me on Shabbos morning at my shul. I'll give the Shabbos HaGadol Drosha at 11:30 a.m. Shabbos morning. We have davening at 8:30, and then a Kiddush 11 o'clock on the Drosha at 11:30. The topic of the Drosha this year is, why does the story of our Geula begin with a reference to Lavan? That's on Shabbos morning. But for tonight, I'd like to speak about something else. Really, a lot of Makoros, but very, very familiar topics, and try to understand a little bit about why the Seder focuses so much on questions. We know about the four questions, the Manishtana, but in general, what's the importance of the role of questions at the pace of Seder? So we begin with the Pasuk and Parshas Bo. Famous pasuk, Shmos Perek Gimel pasuk Gimel, source one. Baruch Moshe Alam Zochar Es Yom Hazeh Asher Tzosim Mitzrayim Beis Avadim. Remember, always remember this day on which you came out of Mitzrayim from the house of bondage. What exactly is that referring to? What mitzvah is that? So Rashi and Chumash Parshas Bo, Shmos Perek Gimel pasuk Gimel, source two. Rashi says Lomad Shemaskirin Yitzis Mitzrayim Bechol Yom. Says Rashi, this pasuk is a source for a requirement to recall the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim on a daily basis. Nothing to do with the Yom Tov of Pesach. Doesn't mention Pesach in the pasuk. It says you have to remember the day we came out of Mitzrayim. And Rashi points out that's a requirement every single day, and that's what that pasuk is talking about. Nothing to do with Pesach. Indeed, that's the implication of the Mishnah, which understands that pasuk, the famous Mishnah in Brachos Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, but it's in the Haggadah as well. Towards the beginning, the Mishnah says Maskirin Yetzias Mitzrayim Balelos. So we have to make reference to Yetzias Mitzrayim every night and every day as well, and that's where Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah makes the famous comment: Harani Kiven Shiv Mishana, like a man of 70 years old. All right, we know Rashi said he looked like he was 70 years old, whatever. We know the drushes from the Pesach Seder, and I couldn't convince others that you have to say Yetzias Mitzrayim and recall that every single night until Ben Zoma made his drasha. Okay, we all know, right? According to this read of the Mishnah, the pasuk that's quoted is the pasuk found in Parshas Re'eh, printed in source number 5, Parak Tezayin Pasuk Gimel. That's where it says the end of the pasuk. It says Laman Tiskos Yom Tzeischa Meretz Mitzrayim Kol Yemei Chayecha. Okay, you have to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim Kol Yemei Chayecha. Now, the problem is, one second, all right, that seems to be the pasuk which is referring to the requirement to say or to recall Yetzias Mitzrayim all the time, all day. But Rashi said in the pasuk in Parshas Bo, back in source number 2, Rashi said it's the pasuk of Zohar Yom HaZeh, which is the source for the requirement to recall Yetzias Mitzrayim on a daily basis. So again, Rashi learns a little differently. Maybe he learns there's an additional interpretation or additional source from that pasuk, but it's certainly the implication of the Mishnah. Either way, everybody agrees that there's a requirement to recall Yetzias Mitzrayim on a daily basis. Question of what exactly is the makor? The Mishnah seems to say the makor is Kol Yemei Chayecha Yomim, Kol Yemei Chayecha Leilos. Of course, the Chachamim disagree, learn differently. Anyway, Rashi says on that, but what's interesting is that Rashi says on that pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, you look at source number 6, Parak Tezayin Pasuk Gimel, Laman Tizkor Al Yidei Achilas HaPesach VaMatzah. And that's not talking about every day. That's talking about Pesach. So just interesting to note that Rashi, while agreeing indeed that there is a requirement to make mention of Yetzias Mitzrayim and to recall the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim daily and nightly, but Rashi seems to learn that from the Pasuk Zohar Yom HaZeh, because again, look in Source 2, in Parshas Bo, Shmos, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Gimel, Zohar Yom HaZeh, Lamad Shemas Kirin Yetzias Mitzrayim B'chol Yom. And the other pasuk, Laman Tizkos Yom Tzeischa Meretz Mitzrayim Kol Yemei Chayecha, Rashi in Parshas Re'eh understands that that's a reference to remembering via the eating of the Pesach and the Matzah, which of course is not every day, that's only on Pesach. So, and indeed, that section in Parshas Re'eh begins, it looks back in Source 5, Perek Tezayin Pasuk Aleph in the Devarim says, Shomor Chodesh Aviv, the month of the spring, that's talking about Pesach. So Pasuk Pshat, simple Pshat. In the Pesukim, Rashi says that the pasuk in Parshas Bo is a source for remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim every day, all year long, all the time. And the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh is referring specifically to Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's interesting that the Rambam is the exact opposite. The Rambam in source number 7 Hilchos Chametz Umatzah Parag Zayin Alach Aleph. The Rambam writes mitzvahs to say Shel Torah Lesaper Benisim Niflos Shem Nasal Avosenu Mitzrayim Belel Chamishosha Benisim. The night of the 15th of Nisan, talking about Pesach, obviously. Shenemar, what pasuk does he quote? Pasuk of Parshas Bo. Shenemar Zochar Zemazeh Shem Itzalsim Mitzrayim. The pasuk Dafku Drashi says was talking about a daily basis. The Rambam quotes that as a requirement, as a source of requirement to recall Yitzis Mitzrayim on Pesach, particularly. Okay. And it's interesting because in Hilchas Kriyashma, Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel, source number 8, there Rashi, when he speaks about the fact that you have to mention the third parsha of Kriyashma at night as well, even though the third parsha of Kriyashma is talking about the mitzvah of tzitzis, which doesn't apply at night, but you have to say the third parsha of Kriyashma at night in any case when you daven Maariv, even though it's talking about a mitzvah doesn't apply at night, because it does mention Tzitzis Mitzrayim at the end. So there, the Rambam says, what pasuk does he quote? The pasuk in Re'eh, like the Mishnah in Brachas. So it's exactly the opposite of Rashi. That's all I'm just pointing out. Okay, Rashi is the exact opposite source, learning of the sources. The pasuk Zohar Yom HaZeh, Parshas Bo, that Rashi says, Rambam says, is talking about the mitzvah of recalling Tzitzis Mitzrayim at the Seder on Pesach. And the pasuk of he quotes in Krishma as talking about the nightly obligation. Rashi learns just the opposite. Okay, but everybody agrees, whatever exactly the source is, everybody agrees that there is indeed a requirement to recall the events of Yitzis Mitzrayim on a daily and a nightly basis, which prompts Reb Chaim Brisker, printed in the Kedusha Grachim Psachim Kufta Zanam and Aleph, source number 9, prompted Reb Chaim to ask, so if you have to recall Yitzis Mitzrayim every night of the year and every day of the year, so what's so special about Pesach night? What's the mitzvah on Pesach night? Why is this night different than all the nights, to put it in different words? But that's what the Reb Chaim is wondering. He says, Hine b'chol laila yesh mitzvah shel zechiras Mitzrayim, v'yukein mani tosa b'leil Pesach. So what's extra leil Pesach? What's the big deal? What's different than Pesach night than anything else? Okay, there's a requirement all night long. He proposes, that there are three distinctions. There are others you can disagree with these distinctions. A lot of literature, I'm going to ask them to mute, they'd be helpful. Okay. The Reb Chaim says three distinctions. The three distinctions are Aleph, L'kayim mitzvah zechira ein torch ela hazkir la'atzmo yitzis mitzrayim. The nightly, the daily, the regular mitzvah yitzis mitzrayim applicable all year long. That you just have to remind yourself, okay, between you and yourself. You don't have to tell it to anybody. You don't have to discuss it with anybody. You got to do it yourself. However, aval b'sipur yitzis mitzrayim on Pesach night, ha-mitzvah l'saper la'acher derech she'elo uchum. You're supposed to relate the story in a question and answer format. That's the requirement on Pesach night. That's different. And he has a couple of other differences, which are not part of our shiur tonight. He mentions that on Pesach night, next page, mentions on Pesach night, you have to tell the whole story, call it Shtalsal Sadvar, you have to, all the details, and a regular night you have to do that. And also on Pesach night, you have to explain the mitzvahs. Okay, but be that as it may, we're going to focus on the first distinction, and that is that all year long, you just have to relate that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, whereas on Pesach night, you're supposed to relate it to somebody else, and derech shela otshuva, to a question and answer format. Someone asks, someone answers. And the question is, why is that? Why does it, where do we get that from? Why is there a requirement on Pesach night, dafka, to present the story in a question and answer format? So the answer would seem to be, and we know this from the Seder, from the Arba Banim, right? The four sons, the four children. The Torah itself presents the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim in the context of a question and answer format. So for example, in source number 10 in Parshas Bo, Perek Yud Beis Shmos, Pasuk Chavav, Ki Yivahaya, Ki Yomro Aleichem Beneichem, Moav Adoz Oslachem, Pasuk Chav Zayim, Amartim, Zemech Pesach Ul Hashem, etc. Right, that's the question of the Ben Rosh. Again, we're not going to go into the details of the Arba Banim now. But again, when someone will say to you, what's this all about? You'll explain. Zemech Pesach Ul Hashem, he passed over our houses when he smote the Egyptians and so on. And source number 11, we got it to Levincha, supposed Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Ches, also in Parshas Bo. We got it to Levincha, you tell it over, Babur Zeh, so Hashem will leave, it's Hasim Mitzrayim. And again, in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Dalin, source 12, when your children will ask, Mazos, that's the Tom's question. Everything tell us, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. So again, the Torah itself frames this mitzvah in the context of question and answers. And later on in Parshat Leschanan, which is known as the question of the Chacham, Perek Vav, Dvarim, Pasuk Chof, 13, Ki Yish Olcha, Vincha, Mocha, Lemar, Moha, Eidos, Chachukim, Mishpatim, Asher, Tziva, Hashem, Lekenu, Eschem, what is all about? The answer, Mechafal, Vamar, Tola, Vincha, Avodim, Hayinu, Lefarab, Mitzrayim, Vayetzir, Hashem, Mitzrayim, Chazok, etc. So again, we know that we see clearly that the Torah itself presents the requirement to tell the story of Yitzis Mitzrayim as an answer to a question that's posed by others. And indeed, based upon this, the Shulchan Aharav, the Balatanya, says in Siman Tov Ayin Gimel Baruch Chaim Sif Yadalad, She'amiras ha'agod, the mitzvah sola omra derech tshuva al shelo seshalu, the mitzvah of relating the story is to relate it as an answer to a question that others will ask. The Mishabura 15 says the same thing. Siman Tov Ayin Gimel Chav Aleph, She'amiras ha'agod, the mitzvah sola omra derech tshuva, so obviously that's how the post can understand, and that is the mitzvah on Pesach night. I would just like to go through a little bit now, but quickly, because they're all things that we're familiar with. Since you have to do it as a question and answer format, then it behooves us, or it's required, there's a requirement upon us to do things to prompt questions. Okay, we have to do things at the Seder that prompt questions, because you're supposed to relate the story of Sipri to Mitzrayim as an answer to a question, as a series of responses to a question. So there have to be questions. So how are you going to have questions? So what we do is we do things at the Seder that prompt questions. I like to go through a handful of five or six different things. Okay, now in principle, we understand, because a question shows relevance. When a person asks a question, it shows that this topic is relevant to him. He's interested in finding out about it, right? So we care, okay? If you care, if you ask about something, it means you care about it. If you don't care, you don't ask, okay? How many of us had the opportunity? I know I have to do it also. You know, you have to sometimes take these online training sessions or sensitivity sessions, whatever it is, and you have to listen to somebody speaking, and then you have to answer questions and so on and so forth. You know, you do those things. You don't really care that much about it. So you don't ask too many questions. At the end, they have any questions you have, you know, click here or write it in. I don't know anybody who's ever done that, okay? Because you're doing this thing, Yotze Design, because your firm or your office, your company requires it. So you don't really care. If you care, you ask questions. That's the point. It shows a certain amount of passion, okay? You notice things. So we have to do things on Pesach that get other people at the Seder, at our Seder table, to notice things, to engage other people. And therefore, the whole bunch of things we'll go through quickly, because we all know them. Okay, but the things that we do to make things different. So, for example, source number 16, the Gemara says, in Pesachim Kuf Chesam Beis, going over to Kuf Tesam and Aleph, Gemara says, Tanar Banan, Hakol Chav Arba Kosa, everyone has to drink Arba Kosa, men, women, and children. And the Gemara says, not very little children, but rather, what do you do with the children? Right? Because it says at the end of Kuf Chesam Beis, 16, the end of the first line, V'chimato El Hashesh Latinokos B'yayin, what's the purpose? You have wine or grape juice to children. So it means, Elo Mechalkamem Kloyos Ve'egozin Be'erev Pesach, Kedei Shalom Yishnu. You give the kids sweets and treats, nuts and candy, whatever else, things that'll engage them, that'll show them, to keep them awake and so on, so they won't fall asleep. V'yish alu, so that they will ask. That's what the Gemara says. So we do things on Pesach night to get the children to ask questions, right? That's what the Rashbam writes. Asher Rashbam, you know, writes. You want the kids involved, because they don't have to drink the Arba Kosos, but they have to, you know, they have to be alert. To be alert to things. So one thing you do is you give them sweets. Rabbi Nochanan writes, and there Kuf Chesam Beis, Kuf Tesam Anaf 19. Rabbi Yehuda haMechalak Tinokas Kloyos VeGozin Kedei Shalishalu VeChener Tarfanos, the great Tanoim. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Tarfan used to give out, like, you know, incentives to the kids to stay awake. Right? That's what you do. You do things that keep the kids involved. Okay, what exactly the different fruits are and so on. Okay, it doesn't matter. I quoted the Rashbam in 20, the technical detail, but the point being that you do things so that they shouldn't fall asleep. The Bach writes in source number 21, the Bach in the Tov Kuf Chof Tes. He's not talking about Pesach, he's talking about Yontif in general. But he writes, you give things out to the kids. The kids are happy. They've got something to occupy them that makes them cheerful. And that's why the Shulchan Paskins in 23 So our Chaim Sim Tov Ein Bei Sif Tesvav. Tinoka Shigila Chinuch. If it's an older child, so then you give him wine or grape juice to drink. But Sif Tezayin Mitzvah Lechalak Lekinokos Klayos Vagozim Kadesh Yiru Shinui. Yishalal, see something's going on here. Now, it doesn't have to be sweets and candies and nuts and treats. It's things that will engage them. Okay, so today, Baruch Hashem, the kids, I have a daughter who's a nursery school teacher. So they make what they call an interactive Haggadah. You know, the kid can peel something with yachatz. She has a thing that you can peel off, you know, it's a Velcro, can peel it off. You can do different things that keep the kids engaged, that keep the kids involved at the Seder in doing things. Right, that's what the Gemara gives example. Kloyos that goes in the, you know, dried parched wheat and candies and whatever else. Okay, nuts. But the idea is again, as the Shulchan Aruch Rav writes in Siman Tov Ayin Beis Sif, in Siman Tov Ayin Beis Sif Lamed Aleph in 23, and that's what he writes again. The same idea, right? Kidei Sheyir, they see something's going on. They'll ask questions. Now, here's the key point. I mean, Mr. Brewer mentions as well. Okay, in Siman Tov Ayin Beis Sif Katan Nun, he says, the idea, you know, sometimes people misunderstand. Why do we do this to Seder? The answer is, so the kids will ask. That's not the answer. Okay, the answer is not, you do these things so that the kids will ask. It is, in a sense, a correct answer, but that's not the ultimate answer. Okay, to say, why do we do this so children will ask questions? No, the idea is, the answer is not Kadesh Shalotino, because that's the answer. The answer is, the Mishnah Berurah explains in 24, they'll see things that are intriguing to them, then they'll start paying attention and ask the question we want them to ask. You know, to do things that the kids will ask, that's not the ultimate goal, to ask, why do we do this? Why do we stand in our head? Oh, you know why? So the kids will ask. But that's just a means to an end. The end is that they'll now start paying attention. They'll now start paying attention and they'll ask the other question we want them. They'll notice other interesting things. We, you know, sometimes say in English also, somebody says something dramatic and everyone looks, what? So now that I got your attention, let me talk, right? I mean, you've seen that. That's a mechanism of getting people engaged. You say something outlandish or you do something outlandish and everyone says, what do you say? All right, well, now that I've got your attention, let me go ahead and, right? That's the idea. We're trying to get their attention. So that's one thing that we do, that they should pay attention and ask questions, but ultimately ask the questions relating to the Seder. That's one thing. Number two, there's actually two or three together. Because the Gemara has an interesting statement in Psachim Daf Kuf Tes Amud Aleph, in source number 25, Tanya, Oleza Omer, Chotfin Matzah Belele Psachim. Chotfin Matzah. Now that act itself is actually subject to different interpretations. Chotfin matzah, okay. Chotfin matzah. Now, what does that mean? Chotfin matzah, okay. Well, chotfin matzah can mean kind of you grab matzah. But the Rashi and the Rashbam there in Psachim in 26 and 27 have two different interpretations. Look in Rashi in 26. Chotfin matzah. Rashi says magbien es hakaara. You grab the matzah, you lift up the Seder plate, which includes the matzah, okay, as if you're going to take it off the table. You haven't even eaten yet. Right after Kiddush, right after you lift up the Seder plate, the children ask, what's going on here? So that's one interpretation of chotfin matzah. Well, you lift things up, you lift up the Seder plate, you grab it and lift it up. Then Rashi gives a second interpretation, okay? Chotfin means you grab it quickly, you get to the matzah quickly. Okay, you move things along to get to the matzah quickly, so the kids will still be awake at that point. You know, you go through the Seder quickly enough, the kids are still awake by the matzah. But we'll look at the first one first, as if to clear the table. Okay, as if you're what do you mean clearing the table? You didn't even eat yet, so the kids will ask, "What's going on here? Why are you taking away the table?" Okay, so Rashbam says, in 27, the Rashbam in Psachim Kuf Tesavon Al Divas on Chotfin Matzah, he gives the interpretation Magmina Sakar like Rashi says, and in the second line, Veli Nira Chotfin Misalkiris Halechem Miara Tinokos. You take the food, the matzah, whatever, away from where the kids are, okay, and that will ask questions. Why are you taking the food away? Right, we want to start asking questions. That's the idea of Chotfin Matzah. It's interesting. The Tosefta says in Psachim Perek Yud Halacha Vav, source 28, Rav Eleza Omer Chotfin Matzah Latinokos, you grab matzah, you give it to the children. And what this relates to, what the Meiri talks about, is probably the mokor for our practice of quote-unquote stealing the afikomen, stealing chot finmatz. We agree. Now, in different homes, in different some places, the adult hides it. The kids have to find the other place. The kids take it. The adult has to find it, and so on. But again, that may be the mokor because the look at the Meiri in source number 29. The Meiri there in Pesachim Kuf Ches Amud Beis Hatinokos and so on. So he writes toward the end of the third line. He says, "V'chein chotfin matzah klomar she mus'askin bo derech derech tamia v'chatifa zeh mizeh." You take it from this one to the other one. You grab it back and forth again. It's all kedei she yishtashu hatinokos. The kids will play. The kids will enjoy it. So that's the second thing that we do. We'll label that stealing. Again, things we do to keep the kids involved. All right. The third thing, again, these are things we go through quickly, as we all know them. The Mishnah says in Pesachim, Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, the Mishnah 30. The Mishnah says, Heviel Afarav Metabel B'Chazeres Ad Shemagil Parperes Opas. We dip. Chazeres means lettuce. That's not the lettuce. It means any vegetable. The reference here is to karpas. Okay, we call karpas. We dip the karpas well before we get to the bread. We get to the matzah. Okay, they bring out vegetable. It mentions lettuce because you could use lettuce. You have to use anything which is a bara pri adoma. I think many people use celery. People with European background use potatoes because that's all they had in Europe. Okay, other vegetables, you make a bara pri adoma. So in any event, you dip this, okay, and Rashi explains, and the Rashbam explains in 31 and 32, there in Pesachim Kufi off at the end, Rashi and the Rashbam both explain this tibul rishon, this first dipping, is Kadesha Yakir Tinok. A kid will say, what's going on here? Because normally speaking, look at the last words of Rashi, Lefisha ain regila b'neyadam lechol yera klodim suda. People don't ordinarily eat vegetables before the meal. We didn't even wash yet. We washed the carpet. We didn't make hamotzi yet. Normally speaking, on a Friday night, after the kiddush, you wash, make hamotzi. Here, suddenly we wash, we don't make a bracha, that's orchatz, and then we sit down and we have a vegetable that we dip. Wait a minute, we didn't even wash yet. Right? That's unusual. So that's what the kids are supposed to ask about, Kadesha Yakir, okay? And others say it means we're going to dip a second time later on, the Charosis, the Maro, the Charosis and so on. But all of this, again, in Pesachim, Kufi, Adalam, and Aleph, Kufi, Adalam, and Beis, the Gemara says it again, all these things are, as Rashi says, Mishum Tinokos Shiyishalu. We do things which are different, that prompt, that inspire children to ask questions. That's why you have the Shtei Tibulim. Two times we dip. All right, the second dipping is so much later. And the Ran says with the kid in the Kedusha Ran, Pesachim Kuf Yadal Beis, okay, writes that what exactly is the question? Is the question of the fact that we dip twice or that we dip only once? All right, again, we don't need to go into that in great detail. The Mordechai has that also in the Seder B'Tzora. He says that Tinokos will ask about the double dipping. In fact, we dip twice. That's unusual. But others, we show them, say no. It's the fact that you dip at all before the meal, okay? And the second dipping later on, maybe is not as noticeable. The Meiri says, no, the second dipping is basically so that they'll notice the multiplicity of dipping and ask questions. But again, we get the general idea from all of this, that all this activity is done in order to arouse questioning. And notice that the children notice that things are being done in a different way. Let's skip down to the, Chassam Sofer has in his commentary, Pesachim Kufi Dalam Beis, but look in the similar to Shulchan Aruch Harav over there in Sinatof Ayin Gimel Sif Yod Dalam. Look in Source 39. He says, "Achar Sheshosa Kos Rishon." After you drank the first cup of wine, Kiddush, Zorach Kol Echav Echol Lechol Mat Yirokos Betibul. You have to dip it into some vinegar, some melach, salt water, whatever it may be. Okay, you dip it in. Veloma Tiktu Chachamim Dabar Zeh LeHasmiya Esatinokos. All year long, we don't suddenly, before we wash, right after Kiddush, we don't have a dip vegetables. We wash first, then have a meal. Here, before the meal, all of a sudden, we're eating vegetables. The kids find that strange. That's another thing that we do. So we mentioned giving the kids sweets and treats and so on. That's interesting. We mentioned the afikomen, swiping the matzah from each other. We mentioned now the dipping. Come back to what we mentioned before, which now we'll elaborate on, Kuf Tes Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara says on Daf Kuf Tezvav Amud Beis 41. The Gemara says that Amar of Ash, Shimon Bar Ashi, everyone has matzah and so on. And then we okrin es hashulchan, we move the table away. Now bear in mind, in the olden days, everybody had their own little table. Because today you're not going to take the table away, it's a big dining room table. But in the olden days, they had their own little table. And all of a sudden, after you washed and you ate the karpas, they moved the table away, which was usually a signal that the meal is over. You're clearing the table. So that's odd. Well, what do? We don't take the table away, but we'll see in a moment what we do. But the Gemara says, why is that done? Lama, look at the end of Kuf Tezvav and Beis and Pesach, the end of 41. Gemara says, Lama Okrin es Hashulchan. Why do we move the table away? Okay, Amar Deber Amar Deber Bianai, Kadesh Yakiru Tinok. Tinokos, Yishal, the kids will ask questions. And again, that's not the answer we do. We do it so the kid will notice things strange, they'll notice other things strange. Okay? Now, what we do, Rashi mentions this, okay, the Rashbam, over there in Pesachim Kuf Tezvav and Beis, we don't have those type of tables. You can't remove the table. So we don't really clear the table. What we do instead, that's that long Rashbam in 43, Kuf Tezvav and Beis, Yom HaSol Matzah. He says there's a mitzvah to remove everything from the table. The next one, the Omas, right? What we do instead, you know, we take the Seder plate away. That's what's printed in most of our Haggadahs. At a certain point, right before the Manashtana, we move the Seder plate to the side as if we're done with it. Done with it, we barely even used it. We ate the karpas, but that's it. What about everything else? So we don't actually move our tables away, but we go ahead to move the Lasale Kakara. That's how the Rashbam, that's what Tosas says. In 44, Tosim Sachem Kuf Tezvav and Beis Alas Alama Okrin Davka Shalahen. That was in the olden days. They moved the table like they had little tables. Avol Shalonu Shein Gedolim. We have big tables. You're not going to move the whole table. Ika Torah Gadol. Can't just move the whole table out. The dining room table weighs 8,000 pounds, right? So therefore, Nogul Asalek a Kaara Letzad Echad. You push the Kaara. The Kaara is a Seder plate. You push that to the side. Okay, that's like taking it away because it indicates. You're getting rid of it. What do you mean getting rid of it? We haven't used it yet. Okay, so that's what we do instead. I printed in the 45, the Haggadah Shel Pesach from the Ritva. Okay, in his Haggadah also he mentions we don't move a table away, we move the Seder plate away. Okay, and all of this again, Kadesh Yishala Tinoka. So let's take a look now to summarize this then in number 46 of Shulchan Aruch. Says in Siman Tov Yud Gimel Sivvav, exactly what we do, okay? No to yodov letzorech tibul rishon. You wash your hands after kiddush. You wash your hands. We call that urchatz, okay? Below yivarech al atila, we don't make a brocha on that in the atila. V'yikach me'a karpas, then you take karpas. Kadesh urchatz karpas. The next thing you take karpas. Pochos mi kazai is less than a kazai is fine. And matbilo b'chomit, to dip in vinegar or we use salt water, whatever, you make a bar per adam, you eat it. Then, and there were no bracha chorona, you're only supposed to eat a little bit, so you don't have a bracha chorona. V'yikach matzah and tzoyis. Then you take the middle piece of matzah from the three. You break that in half. You put away half of it for the afikoma, and you put away half back in the thing. Okay, that's what we call yachatz. Then you say holach ba'anya, v'yomar holach ba'anya. Again, this is familiar to all of us, because this is exactly what we do in our Seder. You say holach ba'anya, and Ramos says you say it in Aramaic, language people understand, fine. And then, right then, you clear the kara from the shulchan. At least you move it to the side of the place. Look at the last words of the Shulchan Aruch in 40, in the number, in 46. Look at the end of the Shulchan Aruch in that tzivav. He says, Ba'oz yitzave lahasir me'al shulchan, as if you're already done eating. I don't even eat yet. As if you're already done eating. So that's what we do. And again, all is Zion Kadesh Yishala Tinokos. Here's another thing we do. Okay, here's another thing that we do. Right away, right after Kiddush, okay, we actually pour the second cup. What a second cup? Okay. What second cup? I mean, we don't do that on a regular Friday night. You don't say right after Kiddush, you pour another cup, okay? But that's what we do, all right? Again, that's also to prompt questions. Now, Aruch HaShulchan, okay? Now, that was in Siv Zion, I'm sorry, that was in Siv Zion of 46. Mozgun Miyad Kosheni. right away we pour a second cup. Why is that? Kadesh Shalot, you know, because the kids will ask, what are you doing? Don't do that on Friday night. Everyone drinks the Kiddush and we go wash. Here, suddenly, after Kiddush, right away, we're pouring another cup. Very strange thing. All right. Anyway, Aruch HaShulchan says that the Tilos Yadayim Aruchat itself is a question. And look at 49. Aruch HaShulchan said in Sifshin Ches, V'achash Yikadish Noto Yodav L'tzorach Tibor Rishon V'lo Yivarach Antim Zayim V'afal Pish Yerniz V'chal Shalom V'tibor Mashkal Yito Yodav Pesach Yito Yodav. We do a number of different strange things this night. We don't usually wash for something we dip. Some hold you do, but we don't pasken that way. Okay, if I dip salt, kapras, celery into salt water, oil, I don't wash before doing so. And some people will mock, but we don't do that. All these things are kadesh yishalu. And look at the Aruch HaShulchan says the end of that first paragraph, Sifshin Ches in 49. The Kvar Nisbar, the Torah. We see the Torah here was makbid. We want to do all these things because the Torah itself was makbid that there should be questions. And that's what we do. Okay. And then in Siv Kafalov, the Aruch HaShulchan says, again, we take the matzahs off the table or we cover the matzah. We don't take them off. Different things that we do. Slightly different than those days. The Mishnah Berurah, it's Siv Tafai and Gimel, Siv Samachay. Okay. If it's a small table, you can clear the whole table. Otherwise, you put this stuff to the side. And again, it's all for the children to ask. Look in Sivkot and Samach Tes in source 50. Kadesh Yishalo, it's only by days that Yisora Lisho Yeser Shalos. Once the kid's in a frame of mind of asking questions because he notices peculiar things, he'll start asking questions about other things also. So these Shinuyim, all these changes are to stimulate, okay? Whatever their goal is to engage. And of course, what do? So we have the formal Manishtana. Right after doing all these unusual things, right at the beginning of the Seder, the child is, what's going on here? And that's what the Mishnah says in 51. Psachim Kuvta Zamalf, Mishnah, Mozgolo Koshen, they pour a second cup. And now the kid's wondering, what is going on here? We're doing all these strange things. We just mentioned six things that we do at the beginning of the Seder. We give out sweets and he steals Afikomen and you move the table as if you already ate and you pour another cup of wine. What's going on here? So finally, the kid, quote unquote, can't take it anymore. So he says, Manishtana. How is this night different? Why is this night different? How different it is? Actually, more technically correct. So look at 51. You have this question. Actually, the four questions there are four questions. One about matzah, one about maror, one about tzli. That in the days of the Beis Hamikdash, they ate roasted meat. The carbon pesach was roasted. How to be roasted? Could not be cooked in any other way other than roasted over the open fire. And so the question is, why you have to have roasted meat, Dafka? That was a question in the olden days. We don't ask that question anymore because we don't have the carbon pesa. And there was a question about the tibble, the dipping. Okay, now, the Rashi says, why is the kan habein shol? Why does a kid suddenly ask over here? So Rashi explains, and the Rashbam both explain in the next two sources, 52 and 53, they both explain the reason why the kid suddenly asks here is because it's so strange. Right, Kanba Mizikas Hakol Sheni. Rashi writes, "Habein shows off in Manish Tana Achshu Shemozgin Kol Sheni Kodav Achila." You're pouring yourself another wine. What, you have to make Kiddush again? What's going on? Why are you pouring another cup of wine? Right, so that's how the Rashi says, and the Rashbam mentions. Some say the Girs is not Bekana Ben Shoel, but Kena Ben Shoel. Okay, rightfully. Okay, with a different interpretation of what that means. But bottom line, Rabosai, all these things are done as a means of inspiring some sort of question that the kids notice that there's unusual things going on. So they'll ask questions. Now, you might be thinking, okay, but that's good for very little kids. What about, you know, kids a little bit older and so on? So take a look. Gemara Pesachim, Hakuf Tez Zanim and Aleph, Source 54. Tanu Rabbanan, Chacham B'no Shol, Eino Chacham, Ishto Shol. Somebody's got to ask. His child's not old enough and doesn't ask, and his wife asks. You ask yourself, oh, that's ridiculous. Who are you talking to? No, it's got to be told over in a question answer format, even if you have to ask yourself. And the Gemara concludes, two Talmid Chachamim, they know all the dinim very well. Shoelin Zelaze. They still have to ask these questions, you know, to one another. Okay, the idea of the mitzvah on Pesach night is to tell over the story, like I said, in a question and answer format. So I don't care if the big Talmid Chachamim, I don't care if a guy's eating by himself. You have to tell over the story in a question and answer format. All right, what the four questions are, it's not even the four questions that are so important. It's the fact that there are questions. So look, for example, in the Yerushalmi in Pesachim, the Mishnah there, their version of the Mitzvah really has only three questions, not four. A question about dipping, a question about matzah, a question about eating roasted meat. Doesn't, they don't have a question about maror. It's only not about a seba. Okay? Now, and Carbonate explains, why is the question to ask now? Because, again, you poured a cup of wine, you move the matzah to the side, everything we said before. So, just to illustrate that it's not really the questions, the formula of questions that are important, rather than the fact that the child asks, look at this passage in the Gemara, Pesachim Kuf Tezvav Amid Beis, source number 58. Abaye Hava Yosef Kamei de Rabba. Abaye was once having a seder by his uncle Rabba. Rabba mentioned in the past, Abaye, the great Amora Abaye, he died, he was born an orphan. His parents, but he never met his parents. His father died when the mother was pregnant with him, and the mother died in childbirth. So he was born without parents. He was raised by his uncle, Rabba. So the Gemara said, when Abaye was a youngster, so Gemara reports in this source 58, Abaye Yasa Kameh the Rabba, Chazad the Kamadli Takami Kameh. He saw they started to move the table away. They didn't eat. So Abaye asked, He said, wait a second, Uncle Rabba, we didn't eat yet. Why are they taking the table away now? We didn't eat yet. Also, come akri takum mikami to take the table away. Amalai Rabba patar tomilomer manishtana. Listen, Rabba, we don't have to say manishtana anymore. You ask the question yourself, right? So it's not the formal text of the question is so important. It's not the specific question. Again, our question, we do it, but it's to activate the thought. So the Gemara says when Abaye noticed as a kid, they're suddenly taking the table away, and he asked, what's going on? Why are you taking the table away? Didn't eat yet. Yeah, okay. No, now we don't have to eat manashtana. Now we can explain why this night is different. You don't need the formal text, so to speak, of the manashtana. Okay, so that's the Rashbam's point. Eina anu tzvicha lomer manashtana. You don't have to say the words manashtana, that particular text. The whole idea is questions. So I asked a question. Okay. Tosa says also there, Pesachim Kuf Tezvav Amid Beis, source 60. Kedir Maskadeshi Yaker, Klomar. Now ask other questions. Amash Sholom, Okar Shulchan, he points out, just ask, why did you take the table away? And the answer is to the kids will ask. That's all we want. We want that to inspire other questions. Ultimately, you really do have to ask questions. Maybe not the formal text of Manishtana. You have to ask questions relate to, you know, to Pesach night, and it's not, not just why do we take the table away. Anyway, you look at the Rambam, Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Perek Zayin, Halacha Beis, 61. Rambam brings mitzvah lahodia halacha beis, mitzvah lahodia labanim, afilu lo shalu. Come back to even the children ask, you still have to tell the children. Remember, one of the sons was Shaina de la Shol, doesn't know how to answer, asking questions rather. But then in Halacha Gimel, the Rambam writes, mitzorech laso shinoi belaila. You have to do things differently this night. Okay, and he mentioned some of the things we mentioned. He mentions giving out nuts and you know, things like that. And okrim ashulchan, moving the table away. Chotvin matzah, grabbing the matzah. He only mentions those examples, but it's again, it illustrates the point that all those things are designed to prompt questions. A little bit later, another parak later, parak ches halacha beis, the Rambam spells out the Manishtana. Parag Zayin doesn't spell it out. This says, okay, a Manishtana, but it really the question is the other question somebody asks about what intrigues him. But again, the goal is to ask about Pesach topics. So the Rambam, Parag Ches, Locha Beis, prints the Manishtana. He actually has five questions. About dipping, about matzah, about roasted meat, about maror, and about a seba, reclining. Okay, so he has he has all of our questions plus the question about the tzli, about the roasted meat, which is not, we don't do it today. That's the Rambam writes Halacha Gimel of Parakas at the end of 62. Bizman hazeh, eino omer halayla zeh kulo tzli. Tonight we don't talk about eating roasted meat because that's not a requirement, so to speak, anymore. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash. All right, but anyway, the Rambam has a different text and so on. In his Haggadah, in 60, the next source in 63, the Rambam and the Haggadah has the four questions that we have, although a different order. Has tibble first, dipping, then matzah, then mora, then haseba. Maybe that's the order in which we do it. Could we do the first dipping first? Then we eat the matzah, then mora, then we recline, we eat the meal. The earliest source that I saw that has the four questions the way we have them is the Machzor Vitri from the Beis Medrash of Rashi, Hilchos Pesach Simen Tzadi Zion, 164. That you can look at and you'll see the Manash Tana as we know and love it. Okay, the order that we have. All right, anyway, Rosh Hashulchan points out in 65, Rosh Hashulchan in Simen Tafayin Bey, Siv Gimel, he says that we have to do things differently this night, as we mentioned before. The children will ask, and he says, Haseba is a great thing to recline. We don't recline anymore at all. So it's tonight that stands out that it's Haseba. Okay, now, all right, so that's the, that we get is the basic idea of the Seder, is the question. In fact, I told you the story in the Gemara about Abaye asking a question to the Rabbah. So 1,000 years later, the Maharil, well, the great Ashkenazi post of Yaakov Lowy, okay, from, you know, the Maharil from Europe in the 1500s. So he writes in his Minhagim by Seder Haggadah, those Chav Gimel in this collection, 66, he says, Hayed Mari Segal, that's the Maharil, Segal's Sagan Lakoin, most Segals are Levi. People called Segal are often Levium. There's Rosh Hateva Sagan Lakoin. Anyway, so it says, someone testified, father-in-law of Moshe Katz, Pam Achas, one time, the Maharil himself, Sha'alto Bito, his daughter, said, Abba, Lama Igbato Akara, why are you picking up the Seder plate? Okay, what's that about? So the kid asked him. So right away, he started about a meeting. You don't need the Manishtana. The kid asked the same stories in the Gemara, just happening many centuries later. But we got the idea. Okay, and the bottom line is, you want to do things that prompt questions. That's how the first you explain. And the whole idea is to generate interest in the part of the kid. If the kid asks a question of his own, you don't necessarily, you know, need to go any weiter. You look in the Aruch HaShulchan, the whole purpose, he says, in Simen Tafayin Gimel Sif Chaf Aleph, look at the end, he writes, She'inyan Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim B'layla Hazeh Tia Agdei Shela Otshuva. Now, if ain't me shashol, sholom ain't shalatzvah. If no one asks, you do it yourself. Okay? Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes in Simen Kufi Test in Dalet 70, it doesn't matter who does the asking, be male, female, child, older, younger, it doesn't matter, as long as this idea is done. That's a fulfillment of the mitzvah. That's a machlokas, really, as a side point. Is there any obligation if nobody asks? If nobody asks. The Mechilta of Shimon Yochai, Perek Gimel, Oz Gimel, seems to say, even if there's nobody asking, okay, others disagree. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvah, in Kuf Nun Zion, says you have to do it even if the kid doesn't ask. Okay, Shulchan Rav talks about it. The Tshuvas HaRosh, Chach of Dalet Simen Bay 74, he says, that the mitzvah is only if you ask, otherwise it's not a mitzvah b'shem Musa. All right, I think we get the idea as an interpretation. Ruchem Perlo in the Bar in Bir on the Sefer Mitzvah of Sadyagon, he said the requirement to ask based on the difference of the Derais and the Darbanan. Okay, maybe it's only Darbanan. Okay, we'll leave that out for now. Okay, but now we're entitled to ask. Okay, and again, the Mishnah Berurah also writes in 76 at the end. He writes that these are all things, is tshuva al shaylos. Everything we do is to get the kids to ask, then we have to answer. Okay? Mishnah Berurah writes in parentheses, I'm a big mistake. Below kimisha osin eza hamon sha'achar amiras manishtana manich leon leoch lishon. You train the kid to say manishtana. Okay? So ever since Purim, the kid's been saying manishtana, halaylah, zemikal, halaylah, driving everybody in the house nuts because he's singing it, you know, all day and all night. That's what he's learning in school. And half the time when it comes to him to do it at the Seder, then he clams up. Right? Gets all nervous. Now the mother puts him on a chair and says, okay, Chaim, now. Man, all of a sudden, fucks his thumb, and then the mother has to bribe him. Okay. But anyway, finally get through the Manishtana. All right, now we're putting the kid to sleep. Says the Mishnah Berurah, what do you mean? No. Then now you got to answer him. That's the Mishnah Berurah's writing. It's in the top line base. Okay. Don't put them to sleep after that. And I never heard the answer. I did, as you get the answer. But again, we're entitled to ask, and that's why I can devote the last part of the Shia to. But what is this big peda on questions? The answer is because the Torah says so. Good. And we do lots of things different to inspire the question. We want to prompt them to ask and to ask about other things. So eventually ask about the Pesach thing. Good. All good. But why? Why is it necessary to do it? So I mentioned before, because it shows you care about something, you ask about it. But I think it goes a little bit further as well. On the one end, you could say, well, it's exeris hakasu, that's what the Torah says. After what the Torah says, it's got to be question and answer, like we said before. Okay, so what are we exploring further? Matter of fact, the Gemara says, in Pesachim Kuf, Tez Vav Med Beis, and also in Lamed Vav Med Aleph, in Pesachim, sources 77, 78, the famous teaching of Shmuel, that matzah is called Lechem Oni. That's in that Pesach in Parashas Re'eh we had in the very beginning. I'll look back at source 5. The Pesach says, Shivas Yom Tov Matzos Lechem Oni. What's meant by Lechem Oni? So Lechem Oni is usually translated as poor man's bread. Okay, for $45 a pound. Okay, but all right, it's poor man's bread. It makes you poor, I guess. That's the idea of it, right? But anyway, poor in the sense of nothing in it, no flavoring, nothing, just plain flour and water, right? But there's a different interpretation of Lechem Oni that Shmuel gives. That the word Oni comes from the word Oneh, to answer. Nothing to do with not with ani, impoverished, poor person, but Oneh. Lechem Oni, Lechem She'onim Alav Dvarim Harbe. It's bread, it's food, concerning which we answer many questions. So the matzah itself is called Lechem Oni because it's something concerning which we answer and address many questions. So you see, it's part of the definition. But that's the idea. You could say, okay, it's Exeris HaKosav. And as Rashi explains, what do? We say, Halel al Hagada, and everything, and so on. And Rabbi Chanan writes in 80, okay, Lechem She'onu L'dvarim, Pirish Omer al Hagada, Matzah Zu, we explain what the matzah is, and so on. Now, but and that's why, but just a side point, that's why even if, although we moved the Ka'ara, we moved the matzah off the Seder plate, and that's why the Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Tafai and Gimel Siv Zayin, when you begin Avodim Hayinu, when you begin to tell the story after the Manishtana, then you should bring the Ka'ara, the Seder plate with the matzahs back. They should be there for Magid. Okay, the matzahs should be actually exposed at Magid. Okay, that's Aloha. All right, look at the Shulchan Aruch. Shemascha Avodim Hayinu, and you actually should pull the matzah out as well. Okay, the matzah should be exposed during Magid because it's Lechem She'onim Alav Dvarim Harbe. Okay, but that's not a fully satisfactory answer. Why do we have so many questions? Okay, Torah says so, and it's called Lechem Oni. But I think it goes much further. Like I said before, we really want to have a Shelo Tshuva question answer format because that is a form of good pedagogy. That's a good way to teach. The Maharal writes in Gurus Hashem, Perek Nun Beis, in source 82. He says people will acquire knowledge. Okay, they'll feel it when you say Manishtana, when you notice differences, you're paying attention. Questions stimulate people to pay attention. Yes, why do we do this? Oh, now think about it. You stimulate questions. Okay, so it's a pedagogical tool. That's how the Maggid of Dubna writes in his Sefer Amidos. Sharadas Perk Vov, source number 83. He says, Priya Shela Chuba, she said, I want to kick most of the Arva Chila Bilo Ravon, Hakodro Kalo Tarva Chuba, built the Achar Flogas of Shela. It's an amazing point. Just like you don't enjoy food fully as much as you do when you're hungry. You really enjoy the food when you're hungry. When you're stuffed, you don't enjoy it so much. Same thing, you don't enjoy an answer as much as you would when you ask the question. Right, it's a pedagogical tool. That's the idea. The Darach Pekudecha, that's the Bnei Yisosra writes, that it's a mitzvah because, again, we want to do things that will be astonishing so children will ask questions, okay, because that shows interest. Just to give you an example, okay, we know famous Pasuk, Tehillim Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Mia Isha Chofetz Chaim Oiv Yom HaLirisol, who wants to live life? The answer is, don't speak Lashon Hara, right? So the Medrash in Vayikra Rabba, Parsha Mitzorah, sometimes Shabbos Ago, not this year, Parsha Tazayin, Oz Beis, 87, tells a story about a peddler who came to town and he said, who wants life? Who? I have a secret here. I have an elixir here. I have a secret here for a long life. Ooh, people gathered around. Whoa, 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 whoa. What is it? What is it? Showed them this pasuk, Mia Shechavetz Chaim, the Torah Shomer, don't speak Lashon Hara. And wow, that wowed everybody. So we can ask, why is that such a big deal? How did that wow? He didn't say anything. No, the Pasuk says it. Yeah, but he got people's interest. You go around saying, who wants to hear the secret of life? People come flocking to that person. Let's say, I think it's a Meshuggah, but people come flocking to that person. Questions inspire. Questions attract people. According to people, that's what Chaim Shalev point out. Okay, it clicked. It's like a hook. Advertising is all about that. They ask a question, they say something, and they hook you, and then they'll get to what they want to get. It's like the hook. Okay, it's a pitch. That's the idea of the question. And by the way, the many great Sfarim were written in question-answer format. The Sefer HaKuzari, the masterpiece on Jewish philosophy from Yehuda Levi, it's written as a conversation, a question-answer between a king who purportedly wanted to convert to Judaism, and so he found the rabbi and he asked him all his questions. He's not reporting. Sefer HaKuzari is not reporting. In fact, there may have been such a story, but Yehuda Levi was basically taking all the principles of Judaism, philosophical ideas, and mitzvahs and so on, and he organized them in a question-answer format because that'll perhaps be interesting to many a reader. Well, why do we do this? And what does this mean? And how do you explain that? Right? That's set up in a question-answer format, the Sefer HaKuzari. It's interesting. There's a major halachic work called the Trumas HaDeshen. Trumas HaDeshen is a work on halacha, quoted all the time by the Ashkenazi Poskim. It's written in a question-answer format. You know who asked the questions? He asked them himself. He wrote a guidebook to halacha, but he wrote it in a question-answer format. And there are many other such svarim as well. The Shagazari perhaps written as Shalos HaTshuvos. Many other svarim were written that way because it's a pedagogical tool. So that's number one, it's pedagogical. Number two, a question creates a connection between the person asking and the person responding. And where do we see that? We see that in the Chumash, right at the very beginning of time. Source 89, Bereishis Perek Gimel, the Nachash. How did the Nachash start up with Chava? Right? The Pasuk says, did God tell you not to eat from any of the trees in the garden? And she said, oh, no, we can eat from all the other trees. We just can't eat from this tree in the middle. And we're not even allowed to touch it. That's where the trouble started. What, the snake didn't know? No, the snake was trying, you know, to start a conversation. You start a conversation with a question. It says, spells a connection between people. Questions make a connection. All right? In fact, a little bit later, in that same source, in 90, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or in 89, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks for Adam and Chava after they ate from the tree, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu said? Look at Pasuk says, Vayikra Shemel Kimel Adam, Vayomer Ayeka, where are you? Where are you? Rashi said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew very well where Adam was. Ela Likonosim Abedvarim, to start a conversation. It creates a connection, it starts a conversation, okay? It connects one person to the other. Another thing, you know why questions are important to say it? Again, it's a pedagogical tool. It creates a connection between the person speaking and the person asking. There's something else also. The entire Yetzias Mitzrayim epoch was surrounded by questions and answers. First of all, I'm not going to read all the Pesukim inside to save some time. I printed in Source 91. Parshas Lech Lecha, Perek Tesvav Bereishis, starting in Pasuk Zayin, the Bris Ben Absalom, when Avraham Avinu was first taught and told that his descendants would be slaves. But first he said he's going to inherit the land. So Avram asked Hashem, how do I know? He questioned. And the Gemara explains in Megillah Lamed Aleph and Beis 92, he wasn't challenging Hashem. He was asking, how do I know that my children will never be kicked out of the land? But again, it was a question. It was a question. And then certainly in Mitzrayim itself, okay, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks Moshe to go down to Mitzrayim to free the Jewish people, what's Moshe's response? Hergimel Pasuk Yud Aleph 94. Rav Moshe Lakim, Mi Anochi, who am I? It's a question. It's a conversation. It's a question. And then Moshe asks another question. I'll come to the people and they ask me, how do you prove that God spoke to me? What should I tell them? And on and on. And the Moshe said, they won't believe me. Because Baruch Hu show them this, you know, the staff changes to a snake and so on. All these different things. Moshe keeps saying, I don't want to do it. But the bottom line, again, it's surrounded. It's filled with questions. Okay, it's filled with questions. Now, actually, when Moshe Rabbeinu first came to Paro, Moshe and Aaron, look in Source 96, Perek Hey Aleph of Shmos. When they came to Paro, they said, let my people go. What was Paro's reaction the first time? Look in Perek Hey Pasuk Beis 96. Mi Hashem, who's that? Question. Who's God that I should listen to him? Oh, he found out. But meanwhile, who's God that I should question? And Moshe Rabbeinu later himself, when things got worse, when Paro wouldn't give straw. So he comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did you send me this mission for? I didn't want it in the first place. 97, Parak, Hey, Pasuk Chav Beis. Vayashem Moshe Hashem, Vayomar, Hashem, Lama Reus, Lama Zeh, Lama Zeh, Shlachtani. And again, you can see numerous examples. Moshe Rabbeinu says later, I'm not the right guy. And he asks questions. Questions are very much a part of the entire story from the beginning, you know, up through the end. Even Paro's servants in Source 100, at one point, Paro's servants finally say, Rambo Park Yud Pasuk Zion, Vayomar Avde Parilav, Ad Mosai Yez Elamakesh. How long are these people going to be a thorn in our sides? Don't you realize that Terem Tedaki of the Mitzrayim? Do you still not realize that the Egypt is lost? Right? Again, it's a question. So from the time of the Bris Ben Absarim to the time of the appointment of Moshe Rabbeinu, to the approach to Paro, to Paro's reaction, to Moshe's question of Kodesh Baruch Hu, why did you send me this job? To Paro's own servants. All of this has to do with questions. And so maybe when we tell over the story of Sipris and Yisraim, we got to do it in a question-answer format because we're mimicking what happened throughout the entire epoch. We're also asking lots of questions. Okay? Now, there's another reason. Asking questions is a, so again, we had a pedagogical idea, how to create a connection between the speaker and the listener and so on, the questioner and the answerer. We had that as part of the story itself is so much about questions. Now a fourth approach. It is a sign of chayrus. It is a sign of freedom to be able to ask questions. Why? A slave can't ask questions. Why do you want me to paint the roof now? I told you to paint the roof. That's why. That's a slave. There's no can't challenge, can't question. Oh, but a person for a Ben Chorin can ask, a Ben Chorin can challenge. And that's why, by the way, the Chok Yaakov writes, I printed in Source 101, Sinat Tafai and Gimel, Sinkot Lamed Hey, many people sing the Manishtana. We have traditional tunes, and even after all the kids say it, so the whole house repeats it, or the head of the theater repeats it, and so on, because it's a sign of Cheres. It's an example of Benigun Yofel HaShabech, to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Wow, I can ask questions. That's a positive thing. Okay, that I can ask questions. That comes from the Maharil. And that's the practice to sing, because a free person can ask questions. And we're supposed to mimic things that present us as free. That's the famous Mishnah, in Pesachim Kuf Tazayin Amud Beis. The Mishnah starts on Amud Aleph, goes over to Beis. The Rambam, Perek Zayin, Halacha Vav, Bechol Dovar Dor, every generation we're supposed to view ourselves as we came out of Mitzrayim. So we ask questions because that is a sign of freedom. Let me add further, another interpretation. All of Talmud Torah, certainly the Torah Shebal Peh, is built around question and answers. Anybody who studies Gemara, there's a kasha, there's a teretz, a three kasha, three teretz, from Tosas, a kasha against Rashi. Everything is question and answer because that shows interest and involvement. Matter of fact, I printed in Source 105, the very first Mishnah in Shas, the very first statement, Torah Shebal Peh, Me'emosai Korin Ishma Ba'arvin, what's the earliest time you can say Kriya Shema in the evening? So again, everything is a question. All of Talmud Torah is a question. First Mishnah, that's the B'nai Soshka says, that's the Derech of Torah Shebal Peh. The Derech of Torah Shebal Peh is to do things in a question-answer format. So that's also symbolized by the Seder on Pesach night. Okay? And the truth of the matter is, both the Hanum Yafos, that's our flaw, in Parshas Bo, Perek and Gimel, Pasuk Yadal, 106, and it's Talmud Chasam Sofer, in Dvarim, Perek and Zayin, Pasuk Ches, both mention the same idea. When you want to elevate yourself and know more, you ask as many questions as you can. Sometimes a person doesn't know, you have to ask to somebody else. They all mention this point as a pivotal point. And you can ask all the questions together. That's what the Pharisee Yisrael says. I just end off by saying, when it comes to Yetzias Mitzrayim, even nature asks questions. I printed in 140, in Source 109, at the end, Perek Kuf Yudal of Tilim, B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim. What happens? The sea split. What do we say? Malacha Yom Kisos. Why are you splitting? They are the Tisolachar. In other words, all aspects of life, it brings us closer to our Kadosh Baruch Hu to ask questions. So that's why on Pesach night, asking questions is so many different things, the pedagogic tool, and it brings the connection between the questioner and the responder. And it's the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim story is built around questions. And asking questions is a sign of freedom. And it's a sign of in-depth learning that all of Torah Shebal Peh is about questions. And even nature asks questions and so on. to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'll just finish with a quote, I think a very beautiful apropos our discussion from January 12th. This is the New York Times, January 12th, 1988. About the obituary of Dr. Isidore Rabi, who was a Nobel laureate in physics, Jewish Nobel laureate in physics. So it says as follows, he said about himself, Isidore Rabi, the Nobel laureate in physics, who died on January 11, 1988, was once asked, why did you become a scientist rather than a doctor or a lawyer or a businessman like the other immigrant kids in your neighborhood? He was once asked that question. And again, he was a Nobel laureate in physics. And he answered as follows. My mother made me a scientist without ever intending it. Every other Jewish mother in Brooklyn would ask her child after school, so, did you learn anything today? But not my mother. She always asked me a different question. Izzy, she would say, did you ask a good question today? That asking good questions made me a scientist. Very fascinating quote. Now, asking good questions is what makes a person a free person. It makes a person a thinker. It draws a person to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why the Seder is dafka built around all these questions. We do all these things to inspire questions. And the whole Seder is a question and answer format because that brings us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it demonstrates our question is freedom of inquiry and freedom of thought and freedom of expression. That's the idea of questions. Thank the opportunity to wish everybody a Chag Kosher V'Sameach.
Chag Kosher V'Sameach. Have a wonderful Shabbos and a good Kosher.
Shabbos and a great Yom Tov to all.